Be'ez Hashem Mizbeach, we begin Perek Achad As, the 11th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchas Tumas Lachon, the laws of impurity of food items in the Sefer Torah, the Book of Purity, which continues in a related vein from the previous Perek, discussing that of the juices of olives and grapes, which that relates to this Perek of what will create a susceptibility of olives and grapes for their tumma. They are a solid, they're a food item, but they also have inside of them also one of the seven liquids that could make a food item susceptible to tumma. That's Rambam gives halacha regarding the harvesting of grapes. Someone's harvesting grapes to sell them in the marketplace. Oily option to dry them up. So they do not become susceptible to tumma. Until the liquid which has inside of it the grape juice, one of the seven liquids, until it falls in it with his consent. Like all of the food items, that even if it gets wet, it has to be for his consent. But that's only if he's harvesting it to sell or to dry. But if let's say he's harvesting it to press it to make wine out of it, then Hokshalatum becomes susceptible to Tumma. Even if no liquid even fell on the grapes that were harvested. And therefore, Vimnagabai Tumma Nitma. And if something Tummy Tasha becomes Tummy. Now, Vidavas Egizerim and Debrisev, this is a rabbinic halacha of a decree. Why did they decree on someone who was harvesting for the wine press that it's going to be susceptible to Tumma, even though it didn't touch? Because at times, a person will go into his vineyard later to know if it's time to do the harvest, are the grapes ready? So, he's going to squeeze out a cluster of grapes to check to see if it's matured already. And it's going to drip, it's going to spray on the grapes that are harvested. Because everything there is being prepared to be pressed and to make wine out of it. And if so, he's okay with it becoming moist because he wants it to be moist. He's making juice out of it. He's not particular on the cluster to leave it in the situation it's not going to be weighing down on the other clusters. And harehu mismayich, it's going to be pressed and be crushed and the liquid's going to come out. He's actually particular that when he's harvesting it, that juice should not spill out onto the ground because he wants it. He's actually going to make wine out of it. And therefore, since he wants that liquid, that makes the other grapes susceptible. Therefore, they made it into gezeira, even if we don't know that to be the case. If someone harvested the grapes for the wine press specifically, it's going to make it susceptible to tumma. Halacha beis. Someone's harvesting the grapes with the intention to sell it. But, shimli mutzlam shuk, his intention is that if he doesn't find anyone to buy it in the marketplace, mechzichim legas, he'll bring it back to the wine press then. So then, lehukshu, they're not going to be susceptible. Until he ultimately does bring it back to the domain of the wine press, meaning we don't consider it now ready with that halacha of a beitz lagas because he really wants to sell it. So through the olives, when they come to the domain of the olive press, hukshu, they become susceptible. Like we're going to explain later on in halacha vav, halacha gimel, habeitz anav. Continuing with someone harvesting the grapes, when the son of it, he puts it into an ovet, which is a pit where they would put the grapes that are there waiting to be pressed by the wine press. Or he spread them out on top of leaves with the intention of putting it with the grapes together into the wine press where the juices had sprayed on those leaves. He wants to get everything out of it, including the leaves. Then, in these two cases, the grapes do become susceptible to a liquid that comes out of them. Because his attention is on the liquid, and he wants it. That's why he spread them out on the leaves, or that's why he put it into the oven, which is like a pit, that's where it gathers the juice, and his intention is that it should be there, that it should take it out together with it to the wine press, and therefore that mashkin is lorotz, and it can be machsher those grapes latumah. The fikir there from notamim tamei. If therefore, if someone that's tamei took from them, or misha yodv tamei, or someone even if only his hands are tamei, if he takes with his hands tamei, he has made these grapes tamei. But let's say someone harvested and he put it into baskets that are woven, and the juice drips through the holes and it goes to waste because these wicker baskets it just drips right through. Let's say he spreads it out on the ground, some clear place on the ground. Which is designated to spreading out the grapes, which obviously nothing is containing if the juice is going to drip out, then the grapes do not become susceptible with the grape juice that pours out. Because it's not particular about that liquid that's coming out because it's just going to go to waste anyway. The figure, therefore, a tamei person could take from them and eat, Even though they burst open and they're dripping into the wine press, doesn't make a difference. Even though a tummy person took from it, the wine press is going to be tarshar, because those grapes did not become huchshir. In other words, the grapes that he's eating now become huchshir because the juice that's dripping out is not l'ratzen, but a niftu l'achila. And they were gathered for eating purposes, and therefore, there's no status of mashka on the juice that's dripping out. And it's like regular fruit juices, which, as we said previously in Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, is not metame and it's not machshir, those grapes, to tumah. Another Rambam continues regarding, someone takes grapes from where they gathered. So if someone takes from the baskets, and from where it's spread on the ground, Vachalni eats it. Vahisik a saw, because the sayim, and it leaves over like a saw, which is a certain measurement, or two saw, uzrakan lagas, and he throws it into the wine press with tummy hands. Ava bishal yayin menatis al novmi, even though the wine is spraying on the grapes, lehu shogu, they're not susceptible to mkabotum. And the reason for that is because the juice does not have halachic status of a mashka, and therefore it will not be machshir the grapes, even when it's going into the wine press itself. Currently, the grapes that were in the baskets of b'mashtich shel adama or spread on the ground. The lokach man l'darchan, and they took from them to press them. Oh, l'darchan is lagas, is suchshahu. So then, like we said, from the tekan's chacham, which was habayt lagas, they become susceptible. The thikach tzarch likach men b'dayim tarish, that we have to take from them with tar hands, k'dash likach men atame b'tame, so that the tame person does not take from them and make it tame, because now it is hochshur already, because he's being b'yitz lagas. Halacha hey, regarding someone who's harvesting in a beis hapras. Kedem shu oimi b'beis hapras. If there's a vineyard in the beis hapras, a beis hapras is a field that had a grave that was plowed over. Chamo geizer, whoever goes inside, maybe he's touching a bone the size of a barley corn. He doesn't realize. And the bone the size of a barley corn is biblical mitame. So regarding such a vineyard, habaitza is lagas. If someone is harvesting that vineyard for pressing it to make grape juice wine out of it, in a mukshir, it's not mukshir, because man should be beis pras as long as in the beis pras. Why? However, tumas beis pras min the brim, since the whole tum of this beis pras, which is the place of the broken pieces, is only rabbinic. And the halacha of harvesting for the wine press that we said that it's prepared for tumah automatically is also only rabbinic law, as we explain. So hekelu b'gzeres zeus. So therefore, they were lenient in regarding this decree. But the gazur love shi'a mukshir, they didn't decree that it should be automatic mukshir, which is the case of a beis lagas. Actually, he eats in beis hapras until he actually leaves the beis hapras, so that should allow us to do harvesting, because it's automatically become tamei because of the other rabbinic halacha beis hapras. So the fikra therefore, because it's really a double drabana. Fikra therefore, right to live to beis hapras lagas patas. So if someone does want to harvest in the beis hapras for the wine press, for in the state of purity, so what he does is as follows. To really point out that this is a unique exception. So first he purifies the ones that the harvesters and the tools they're going to use. Umazalem shlishi yishvi, and he has them spray with the paraduma ash water, day 3 and day 7. Umav shimshon, and he wakes the sun down. And that's kedei lahakar, so that there should be recognition. Sheim mekilim b'tumas beis hapras. I'm not being lenient regarding the tumah of beis hapras. And the shusafik rather because situation of doubt that the harvester should realize that it's not for a definitive tumah that we would ever do such a thing. It's only because of the safik of beis hapras that we're lenient here regarding of habayt zolagas. Then v'akach nechnas no beitz, and then they come in, these individuals who are purified, and they do the harvesting. And they take it out of the beis hapras, and then automatically, as we mentioned before, they're going to become susceptible to tumah, because only in the beis hapras itself that we suspended that, because generally beis lagas is automatically prepared. So they take it out of the beis hapras. Then machim ta'idim, other people that are tar, amakabla mehen, they accept it from them, umaylichan lagas, and they take it to the wine press. And the reason for that is because since the grapes are already now biblically susceptible to the tumah, with the grape juice that's going to squeeze out when they're walking, so the harvesters that were in the beis hapras, if they were still to carry it, they would make it tamei because of they were in the beis hapras, because that's only one gzeira on them. That's not including a beis lagas. That's just for themselves. So they won't lean when there's a double gzeira. But here we can't have them take the grapes once it already left, because the juice that's going to squeeze out again, since it is beis lagas, would make it susceptible. So therefore, they give it to other people that are tar. V'nagu elu be'elu, and now if the tamei people touch the tar people, then tamein, their tamei umetam nesanavim, and they make the grape tamei. Because shanoshim beis hapras, the men that were in the beis hapras from the rabbinic halacha, tamein their tamei. Umetam lesim shepachutz, and they make the people that are outside tamei. V'yisnoi simarishon, and they make that person into a rishon. V'hem etam asanavim, and they make the grapes into a sheni. Because like we said, the moment we leave the Beis HaPras, they do become susceptible to Tumah from the Halacha of a Beitzel Lagas, and therefore, it's going to become Tameh from the Tameh people who touched the Torah, people who then touched the grapes. And therefore, they have to make sure not to touch each other. Lachavav continues now with harvesting of the olives. Hamaitzik ezesim. Someone harvests his olives, which Beitzer is used by grapes, and Hamaitzik is used by olives, but he's doing it Lachavsham or Lamachim Beshok, to pickle them or to sell them in the marketplace. So they're not susceptible to Tumah. Until one of the semen liquids fall on them with his consent, like all other food items that has to have l'ratzin. So if someone's harvesting his olive, to press them, this is where it's unlike that of grapes, in the olive press, they're not susceptible, until you finished the whole procedure. Why is it automatically the olive susceptible to Tumah when you finished all production? Because there's a presumption that it became susceptible with that liquid that comes out of the grapes, out of the olives. And because he wants, so it's not enough. We said, okay, it's considered as the oil itself, but you have to want it. Yes, because he wants that to be there. So that it should be easy to press the olives. And that liquid of the moil makes it easier. And therefore, that's a liquid that's on it, that's l'rotzen. Now, before the whole process has been finished, meaning if he, as we'll see later on, he intends to add more olives into the ma'atan to squeeze them together, so he's not finished yet, he's not ready to press it yet, in amoyle it's memachshu. So then that liquid that oozes out from the olives will not make the olives susceptible. Because he doesn't want it to be there, meaning the first olives to be all moist now before the later ones come into the vat, because he doesn't want it to get too soft and get ruined. The vikach therefore is malachdom. So if you have olives that you didn't finish yet, the whole production, the tummy liquids fell on them, which generally, as the Rambam said in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Gimel, that they contaminate food items even though they were not susceptible yet, because it comes together. So it's only going to contaminate the place where it touches, like all of the food items which were not susceptible. Now, but let's say the tummy liquids fell on them after we already finished the production. Oh, then mekulam, then they're all going to become tummy. And the reason that is, because what's going to happen now, specifically now, that you want the moihel now, because it's already given malacha, the tummy liquids are going to contaminate that moihel. That moihel is going to contaminate them all. Like we said, because that juice that oozes out of the olives, after you finish all the production, now it's considered mashka, umestame, it becomes tummy umachsha, and makes all the other food items, that all the olives, susceptible to be makabal tummah. A barrel of olives that were salted and they gathered together and they're ready to be, they're there to be eaten. Tzorach linkev achavis, you have to make a hole in the barrel kadesh yetz amal so that juice oozes out. Vimleinik, if you didn't make a hole, sadeh makshon, so then that's something that you wanted to be there and it's going to be susceptible to tumah. Now, what's if nikva, let's say you made a hole in the barrel, but it's a tumua shemarim, but the sediments went and clogged up the hole. Vihinim belulim b'mayel, now all the olives are moist from that mayel. In Makshim, it's not going to make susceptible to Nisha in Bitsan because the person doesn't want it there. Shari Nikva, he made a hole. Just then, the way it settled, it clogged up the hole. That's not going to be a problem. That's not considered as the Mashke Lor Tzayne. Lachachas continues regarding the stipulation, like we said, for the olives to be susceptible to Tuma, is the Gemara Malacha. So that the Rambam, it clarifies. Zaysim Shemesakim Ladricham. So regarding the olives that were harvested to be pressed, and the olive press to make oil out of it. What's considered the end of the work? Like we said, the production is over. Oh, now it could be susceptible to tumah. So that's mishitigam and misikasim. That's when you finish the harvesting, meaning you don't intend to add on any more. Rather, you're going on to the next stage now to press it. And they're placed there and they're prepared and ready to be pressed. So as we said before, even if no liquids fell on them, even if no liquids came out of them, since their production is finished, they're automatically considered prepared to become tameh. Before their production is finished, even if they were squeezed, and they're sweat, and now they got combined with their liquids, in the mukhsham they're not prepared yet until the, because you don't want that liquids. Let's say you finished the harvesting. But you can end up buying. You finished all the harvest. but you're going to buy from the store other olives to add on to go squeeze out oil. Even if you're going to add on just a little bit, like one cob or two cobs. So then they're not susceptible yet because you didn't have gemar malach, even though you did, you harvested everything, but you still plan on buying a little bit more to when you're going to press out the olives to make oil. Now, but Vimherim, if he's just being crafty, where he quote unquote wants to add just so that his olives should not be susceptible to Tumah, then Harei Mokshon, then they are going to be susceptible. That won't get him out of it. Now, let's say Gama Malikach, let's say he even finished from what he's going to buy. But he plans on borrowing to add on olives to go ahead and squeeze out more together to make oil. But then the Eidu Oynis, then something beyond his control happened. Oynis asked Mishnah, he got involved in a party. But the Chosev didn't end up adding it on. Still, still ultimately, he didn't finish his production. And therefore, even very tummy people, like Zav and Zava, that are going in them, tell him they can be tar, because again, they're not susceptible yet to Tumah. Lachateso, Eitin Zesav, Bishnei Badim. If someone was packed in his olives, and he has many olives, and he doesn't plan to squeeze them all out at the same time, he puts them into two different containers. So, in two different presses, a bad is with it's pressed out. So, Kim Shagama Achzman, once one of them was finished the production, so they're susceptible to receive Tumah. Each one is independent as its own entity. That's where it can say Gemara Malachta. Halacha Yud, Hamoisig Zesa Bagalil Ha'elyon. If someone harvested his olives in the upper Galilee, in Eretz Yisrael, Vasala Yidin Magola Tachta, and he ultimately is going to plan on bringing it down to the lower Galilee. So, Emakabat Tumah, Stamakabat Tumah, even if he doesn't plan on adding on any more, until he brings it down over there to the container in the lower Galilee, because in the upper Galilee that's not considered gemar malacha because he plans on transporting it to somewhere else. Until he brings it down over there, and but this is only if he thought about this before he harvested. But if he never intended to move it somewhere else, it's only after he harvested that he said, "Oh, you know, let me." First, bring it to the lower Galilee. Then that's what's not going to help. It's automatically susceptible to Tumah because he already finished his harvest. Let's say he finished his olives and he plans on selling them. So, they're not susceptible to Tumah. Because this that we were saying all along, that if you finish the production, it makes it susceptible, is when you plan on squeezing it out. But if you plan on selling it, then it's not susceptible. If he plans on covering them with leaves to protect them because of the rain or because of some dust, they are susceptible, even though he plans on adding on the covering of the leaves, because ultimately the production of the olives themselves was finished, and the covering of the leaves is considered an independent thing, and therefore, Mekam Tumah, they are susceptible to Tumah. If someone purchases a container of olives from a Gentile, so im yesh meisik apnei hadamam, if there's a harvest on the ground, meaning you find over there olives that were harvested by the Gentile that weren't sold together with the olives that were in this ma'atan, which is where the olives are kept before they're pressed, so yasa betuma. In other words, what that means to say is that you can engage with it with tummy hands because it really became tummy from the Gentile touching it. In other words, and we don't say that the Gentile wants to still add on to the matan the olives that were found over there on the ground. And if that's the case, so it wasn't yet gemar malacha, and therefore then we're not susceptible to tumah yet. No, we don't say that. Because we presume that he was already finished, he does not intend to add it anymore. Rather, he's going to sell what was already placed in the matan, therefore it's already tummy. Now, an ignoramus is believed to say, matan ze lo gemartiv, that this matan, I didn't finish it yet, meaning I plan on adding on more, and therefore, although we don't really trust him regarding tumah tahara, we're not suspecting that he's going to deliberately lie, and therefore it's not going to be mekabel tumah yet, because the production wasn't finished. Halachid beis, aruitz alitl mezeisim shalei nigma malachtam alidrach. Someone wants to take from Allah's that the production was not finished yet, but he wants to really press it. So I raise a note member tumah, so he could take from it in the state of tumah, because since the production was not finished, then the hoch shalei tumah, and obviously it's not tummy. It cannot become tummy. So you could take it in the state of tummy. You could bring it, you could transport it to the olive press in the state of tummy. And you could cover the rest of all the olives that are left over in that mountain, in that pit. You could also cover it in the state of tummy. You don't have to be concerned, because they're not susceptible yet to be able to become tummy. If someone leaves his olives in a large mortar where they would grind the olives that are used to be eaten. And kedishim tinu, in other words, so that it should just wait over there, should become moist and become softened. The yinechem likasir, that it should be easy to crush. So it becomes susceptible to the liquid that comes out of them, because that's what you want it to become moist, and therefore that's desirable liquid. If he leaves them, that it should wait, that he should salt it after he leaves it there. In the mukhsharim, then they're not susceptible to tumah, should he die to them, because his intention is to pickle them. That's what he's going to put on the salt, and therefore the production is not finished. The production is not finished. It's not hokshlik abatama. Look at your dalad. Hapetzei azesim shal truma b'idam tameis. If someone crushes olives of truma with tummy hands, so psalm, he's invalidated them because generic hands are considered as a shein l'tuma, which a sheini would make truma into a shlishi, make it puzzle. And the reason for that is shapetziyasim b'gemar malachim, because crushing it is the conclusion of the production, and therefore it's susceptible, and therefore the hands are going to make a tummy. Now, but some lasafkam melech, but let's say he's crushing them so that they could go ahead and sponge up in salt. In other words, because salt doesn't really attach very well to dry items. Now, if it gets wet from the moil that comes out when you're squeezing it, it's going to attach itself, and that's why he's crushing it. Then lay hochshur, then it does not become susceptible to tumah because the production is not finished. Again, because he just wants it so that he'll be able to put on the salt and pickle them. Let's say if he crushed them, laid them yeshbehem shemen, just to know if there's oil inside of a gila musik, that's time to do the harvest, they did not become susceptible to tumah because they don't really care about the liquid that's coming out at all. It's going to waste, and therefore, they're also, that would not be considered as something that would be makshir at likabel tumah. Halacha tazvav. Hamanich zeisim bagas legarkum. If someone leaves olives in the olive press so that they should dry up until they become olives that are good to be eaten, will the option and to dry them, another, they're both types of drying. Safilihim rum amma, even if it's a height of an amma, and therefore the lower ones are not quick to dry up, and in the middle that you have the liquid that's squeezing out, making them moist, still in the mukhsharim, they're not going to be susceptible to kabbal tumah, because his intention is to dry them up. He does not want them to become moist, because actually the moisture holds back the drying process. So even though they're so high that the bottoms are going to be moist, that's not hokshul kabbal tumah. Nisan b'bayis sheilku. Let's say put into the house so that they should get ruined a little bit. The olives they should sour. So af b'shas la listen magag. Even if he's going to end up taking it to the roof, which they would put it there to dry up. Oish nisan b'gag sheilku. Well, let's say put into the roof that it should spoil a little bit. Af b'shas la paschem b'yafes aysim. Even though he's going to end up opening them up and spreading them out. Hadeil mukhsharim, they are susceptible to kabbal tumah because he wants the moisture which causes it to get spoiled, and that's part of the process that he wants. And the son of Abayis at Shiyishma is gage. Let's say he's putting in the house until he makes that the roof is a protected area where he could spread out his fruits to dry it out over there. Oh yeah, Shalichim al Mokamacho. Let's say he's putting in his house just as because he's waiting to transport it to somewhere else. Then in the mukhsharim, they're not susceptible to mikabel tumah, shadayin l'nigmar malachim, again, because the production has not been finished. He doesn't really want any juice that's coming out because it's going to go to waste when he's going to transport it to somewhere else. And therefore, it's not hokshul l'kabel tumah. Halachat Zayin continues regarding that there's no concern from an ama oretz who's tamei from touching his items when they don't have permission. Ha'aitin zeisav, continuing with these cases of someone who has this container of his olives. But it's in the domain of an ama arts. But v'nol v'chasam, but he locked it and he sealed it. He's not concerned that as if maybe the Gentile has some other key and some other seal. And even if he comes and he finds that the seal has been ruined and the key is and the lock is open, we still consider it tar because the Amma Aretz is afraid to go over there so that he shouldn't be caught as if he's a thief. And we say that he probably broke it, but then he changed his mind not to go in over there. And Mechesim Shomer, this seal that we're talking about is a filet sor, even if it's just a pebble, a kesem, or just a piece of wood. Now, Hayisham Chayim in the stock, but if there were holes and cracks, they were also in the Chayisham, not concerned Shomer Machnas Kano Masid, not concerned that maybe he's stuck in a rod and they caused it to move, which that Hasata would be Masa, that would cause it. And we would treat the Amorites like that, like a Zav that would make it tummy. I'm not concerned about that. But if let's say the windows were four Tfachim, then the dainis kibasachim, then it's considered like an opening where if it didn't lock it and they didn't seal it, it would become tummy because it's possible for a person to go in over there through the window. And since it's not locked, then we would have to be concerned that the Ama Oretz made a tummy. Halacha Yud Zayin, regarding the purification of what we're discussing of the Beis Habad, of the olive press, Hadoirich betuma. If someone pressed the olives in the state of tuma, and all the tools, all the vessels of the olive press or the wine press became tummy, so v'rotz latar, but he wants to now purify clay Beis Habad. He wants to purify all the utensils, the tools of the wine press, and v'ha'ekel, which is the perimeter around the olives when they're pressing it. Min ha'mashkin ha'tmeim, from the tummy liquids, shenivlu b'em, which it can absorb in them. So ketziyasa, how should he do this? So klei shel etz v'shel abon, regarding wooden and stone vessels, madiach, you wash them off. V'shel nesan v'kiyitz b'em, now regarding boards and things like that, where just washing it's not going to remove the moisture from them. So menagvam, you have to dry them out in the sun or in the air. Now v'shel gemi, that of like from resin, which is a type of herb which is very absorbent. So miyashnim koshnei mazachadush, you have to let it get old, you have to leave it for 12 months. Or you put them in boiling hot water, or in the hot or in the olive juice. Or you put it beneath a pipe, shemimah mekalchin, that the water is pouring out. Or you put in the spring, shemimah breitim, where the water is rushing. You put in for a period of 12 hours. Then you table the vessel that needs to have immersion, which that excludes, let's say, wooden vessels that don't have a receptacle. It's called pshutik li'etz, which they don't have that halacha. Then you could use those items in the state of purity.